turning into? He's always been, right?
And your point is?
Okay. Are you ready?
All right. Good morning. Julie Fedorchak with North Dakota Public Service Commission. We are back gathered on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for the admin portion of the commission meeting. I will call this meeting to order. Okay, a couple items of consent. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Okay, discussion matters with the commission. Number one, new gas distribution systems in North Dakota.
Yes, Madam Chair, this won't take long. I just, now that I'm working with Granville and trying to, get that all long-term tweaked out, I just thought of an awareness that I know that there's a lot of cities out there, not a lot, but a few that are considering different roles for gas in their communities. And I just, as we talk to them, I think we need to understand, they need to understand what their inspection regime is going to be. I'm assuming they're thinking about it, but I guess I hadn't thought about it. If we get a new gas plant that pops up in Town X, it's going to be an added inspection role. So there's some point in time, should be, if they get to where they're actually going to do it, our guys and gals, well, I guess guys need to be aware of that. So
I can offer a little bit of insight on that. There is a potential bill draft that's being circulated around and contemplated. It hasn't. I know they've talked to legislators up in your area, actually,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
O'Connell and Nelson, and who else is up there? Dick? Is there Dick Anderson?
Dick Anderson, yeah.
And they are looking at modeling this legislation after Minnesota, where there are – they basically would create a more competitive arena for natural gas supply to – communities under a certain threshold. So say you say under 2,000. 2,000 under, a community doesn't have to, or a company would focus on the companies, really. The company serving a community under 2,000 would not be subject to rate and regulatory oversight by us, rate and service oversight by the commission. So they'd be exempt from that. And they would in turn, though, be subject to regulatory oversight by the city just for rates, not for safety. They'd still be subject to the PHMSA, and they know this. And the difference here is it isn't focused on communities setting up their own distribution systems and running them.
Right.
It's focused on businesses that can provide this and have that experience and know how to do this, coming in and establishing a contract with the city and working out a rate system for providing, developing the distribution service and bringing in the gas supply and doing all of that for the community for a cost. And they know that they would be subject to the PHMSA safety regulations, but these would be operators who do this in other places and know how to do it. They're experienced. So it's something that I've looked at just briefly. Pat has looked at the proposed legislation. Mike Diller looked at it before he left. He thought it was a really good idea, actually, Mike did, just because he thought, you know what, if you opened it up to more competition, you might have smaller, more nimble companies other than MDU and some of the big guys who want to take a stab at this and can do it cheaper and are willing to make the effort, whereas MDUs and some of the bigger companies don't necessarily want to serve these small communities. It's more of a hassle. So that's the theory anyway. I have been certain to tell them that the commission, and you guys haven't seen it, and so they can't suggest that the commission is supportive of this. I'm open to it, and Mike Diller was quite supportive in his conversation with them. So there's some these folks have indicated that the commission has looked at it and is interested. So that's the status of that. And Pat and I are meeting with them again. Next Monday, and so we'll know a little bit more then. And when we're to the point where we have more information to share or whatever, I could set up a work session if you'd like to hear more about what the proposal is and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that sounds great. I just was from the viewpoint of some point in time they notify us so we can get them in the inspection queue. And does that put us over to a third inspector?
Right.
That's more what I was thinking of.
How many, if any system. This is apparently working. They have a couple of these systems in place. This particular company that is helping to drive it in North Dakota is doing this actively in Minnesota already. And so they seem to think that this is viable and they could make it work here and are interested in trying. And so it just depends on, whether it makes sense from a policy standpoint and if they can get that kind of a measure passed by the legislature.
And so the city does the rate regulation part of it?
Right.
One thing that I would be curious how this is working in Minnesota. In the case of a small town where maybe the school and the city hall or if there happens to be a courthouse there might be the big industrial users. Mm-hmm. It seems like there's a big opportunity then for the city in their rate regulation to shift a lot of the costs from residential onto those big users and let the agricultural taxpayers who don't have a say in that city government end up paying for a lot of the costs. And you could have quite a shift from people with representation at that table to people without representation paying for the same facilities.
Where would the ag users, because they're...
If the costs are shifted over to schools, courthouses, the ag producers pay those costs too, and the school board ends up paying it. And
it's a good question. We should ask that about. I don't know that this is feasible in communities where there isn't some more non-government industrial base. Yeah. You have to have some industrial base to make this feasible, like real industry, not government.
Although we have the one that kind of seems to be Granville.
But that's propane.
It's propane, but it's the kind of the concept of...
It is a concept.
Community-based heating system.
It's a concept, but the whole point of this is to get natural gas for the economic development purposes, not propane. So, okay, that's a good point.
I'm working just to the inspection part of it. The rest is all let the policymakers figure that out.
All right. Very good.
That's why I brought it up, Julie. I wasn't...
No, I'm glad to have it because I've been, kind of futzing around with this anyway, and I wanted you guys to be aware of the fact that this is happening if you haven't heard already, and so others don't characterize things differently than they are. Okay, Victor, letters.
Okay. They may appear very similar, but they're actually quite different. So first one is the longer... letter
of
the
two. Are you a magician or what?
So the first one, the longer of the two letters, this is related to one-call fees charged to excavators that have not been paid. We've talked about this many times in the past. So this kind of stems from the last one-call board meeting. Julie came with us and kind of said, well, how about this as an option? The tentative plan would be the One Call Concepts, who runs the program for them, would send out a letter if there's an unpaid bill after X number of days or months or whatever the time period may be that it still has gone unpaid. The board would send a letter, not quite exactly like this, but it would kind of quote some similar sections of law saying you need to pay this. Another X period of time would pass by, and then if they still haven't paid, then we would send this letter after being notified by Ryan that, and kind of, I guess what I would imagine is, he maybe sends us five or so at a time. We send out these letters, and this doesn't sign us up for taking any particular action. It's just quoting some sections of law saying you could be found in violation, blah, blah, blah. So.
Looks good to me.
Yeah, fine by me.
Everyone's good with that? Yep. Okay. The next one is for our unpaid penalties issued in damage prevention cases. We have one default order that was issued a month plus ago that has still not been paid. And we have one consent order, actually. So the guy actually agreed to it, but he never sent in our money. So those two orders They are past their due dates per the legal qualifications. What I was thinking, we can send out this letter, give them 2 weeks to pay. If they don't pay, we turn them over to our collection agency that we've started using. Everyone is.
Well, this one, I think I like the idea of it, but I just, you know, have we got any feedback yet from our current debt collection out there? Because I think we kind of left it where before we went down that road farther, we would see how this went.
Yep.
And I'd also see what Alana and Jack think about. Because in the past, we've had this happen before. It just kind of lingered and nothing happened. So is there a different approach that we should be taking other than a letter from Victor for the second one, something with a little more teeth in it that sets us better legally? Or, I mean, I just don't know.
I quite honestly, I don't think it really matters whether we write this letter or not. We could really put this to the third-party collector. Maybe it doesn't put us in a different legal position, but it does put us in a position where we're notifying them and giving them the opportunity to do something before we do any enforcement action upon them, though.
And if you don't go to collection, wasn't it go to some court somewhere, and that's where we decided there's not the revenues to do all that? Isn't that the other option?
The other option is to take it to civil court to enforce it there.
I'm okay with this. I'm open to the discussion, though.
So in addition to the order in the case that we've already sent to collections, we now have another one that hasn't paid?
Two. So it was one of them we issued a default. So for people who weren't responding to formal complaints, we had started trying out the default orders. I think we issued two or three. And all but one of those has actually paid the penalties that the commission issued. One of them has not on those default ones. The other, and this is the first time I've ever seen this happen, but the company actually signed a consent order, agreed to our penalty, and then never paid it.
Oh, well, I think this makes sense then. Maybe they just lost it or something.
Ooh. It's possible. It was a small kind of a couple, two-guy operation, so maybe got lost in the mail or, oh, yeah, I'm going to pay that, and then they keep forgetting or something.
How long has it been? Just a few months?
It's been less than 2 months, but more than 1 month, okay. Somewhere in that range.
Yeah, you don't want it to get too long either.
Right.
When we decided on, you know, trying these collection agencies, is that on anything, even if it's just a couple dollars? Or
We can. I guess the agency is willing.
We left it, let's do this first then before we open it up to everything.
Because I don't want to send this and say it will be turned over if it's not going to be turned over.
Sure. I can say May.
I haven't heard nothing that makes me think the collection's a bad idea, but when we talked before, I was a little bit leery of it to some point.
Yeah, no, I think it's a service that exists, and
okay. And
we should use it.
And then, I don't know, it's only a few days difference, but it just seems odd to me that by law they have 10 days to pay it. But when they don't and we send them a warning letter, we give them 2 more weeks.
Sure. And that was just...
That should be 10 days as well.
That's fine with me if that's what you guys prefer.
Well, how about just immediately? We've not received payment from you immediately, then we make a judgment call on what do you
anything need. Is fine with me. I just, except for I don't think it should be more than the original.
Sure, sure.
Is there a legal thought there? Not that it matters, look back to your point.
Well, there is one issue that they could be found in violation of not complying with the order, and therefore additional penalties could be ordered on them for that reason.
I guess I like immediately.
We could add that. I mean, that could be added to the letter.
I think when you have your little threat at the end, you probably should keep it so that you have that, you maintain that choice of debt collector versus going to civil court.
Oh, sure.
They don't have to know we're not going to civil court. And then that, you know, you could make it more generic and it would incorporate what Jack's saying and what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. If we not receive this payment immediately, it'll be turned over to collections or will be, it may be this or maybe that.
Something like that, yeah.
You could be subject to additional fines. It may be turned over to a debt collector or taken to court. Forced
yeah,
through court.
They could work out a sentence.
Yep.
But then it covers all the possibilities without promising one.
Right.
Sure.
No, you gotta spell it out because
further action.
Otherwise, they might not realize it's as serious as it is.
Yeah.
Right. This time we really mean it.
In 10 days. Thank you, Victor. Sounds good.
Geez, my day, huh? I forwarded this email to the two of you. I'm never quite sure who gets what, but they want us downstairs on October 13th.
Yeah.
So.
I saw that from you. I don't think I did get that one, actually. I get a lot of the OMB ones, but.
They forget who the chair changes over, and it's been 2 years, and we've told them a million times, but I still get it from.
Yeah. Well, they'll have to get it to Randy next. Okay. So this is our audit.
Yes.
How do we usually handle this?
Usually the chair would go down there and say, here, such and such date, here's our response. He'll highlight it and see if there's any questions.
Okay.
So we've got the audit. We've prepared our responses. I think it's just to stand in front of the committee. The last time we had the robust discussion, or maybe it was two times ago, about the grain elevator stuff, but usually if there's no axe to grind on either side, we've submitted this. I'm stand for any questions. Thank you.
Yeah, last time, because it was my portfolio, most of the discussion, I don't know, were you gone that day and I did the whole thing, or did you just defer to me on that part?
I don't remember.
Because I remember I went, but I think this time it should fall to you.
Isn't it mostly in your area again?
We don't have any new findings.
Oh, they got rid of that one. That's right.
Yeah, it should be pretty benign.
Well, let me see my schedule here. On the 13th.
And there was a laundry list of people. They gave us a time. I don't remember the time. Did you print off the letter by chance? Or Josh, do you know what time ours was?
Going to Minot later that day. But
here we go. Gerald's got the letter here.
If you can't.
Between 1 and 3.
If you can't, I can. See, that hearing is an ALJ hearing that day, right? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at September.
I will be at the OMS meeting that day.
I'm available on the 13th if you can't, so just let me know.
Okay. I will, between 1 and 3, I just need to get to Minot by, what time? 6, so I should be able to cover it.
That's all I had, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you. On the same...
Daryl, can you get back to them and make sure they put the right names in there? Thank you.
Okay. Number 5, this is Pat, jurisdictional determination on 911 location services for VoIP.
I can start it out. I don't know if Commissioner Crisman would wanted to start it or not, but...
Why don't you just go ahead?
Okay. This is about number resources related to VoIP providers. The another type of entity that's coming along is a voice a positioning center. VoIP positioning center is what they call it. It's all about 911. If you're making a VoIP call, an internet protocol telephone call, you might be using a computer or whatever, and you may be residing in Bismarck, for example, but you could be in New York or somewhere else, Chicago or something. But so these positioning centers help your carrier find where you are at the time you make the call in case it's an emergency 911 call. So these companies find you so that the emergency responders can get to your location. They need numbers in order to do this. VoIP positioning centers need number resources. And the FCC has said there's two ways you can get numbers. One of them is if you are registered with the Public Service Commission or the State Commission to provide telecommunications services. And the other way is to get a note from the commission if that commission does not, if you do not have to register with the, in the state for telephone services and the commission has no jurisdiction, then get a note from the Public Service Commission that says they don't have jurisdiction. And then they can get direct access to the telephone numbers. So
Direct access from?
From the number pool. They can just go straight to the number pool as long
state
as we
number.
Say.
Okay.
No, the
federal number.
The New Star number pool. That the one, they're the entity that tells us when our numbers are going to exhaust, for example.
Wouldn't it be in the national New Star pool?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, they have regions, but, I mean, it is the national pool administrator.
Okay.
So we are trying to determine whether, and, I mean, initially we're thinking that this type of entity does not register with us for to provide telecommunication services, but we want to make sure that we have that correct. And I have Jack helping with this to make a determination and wanted to let you know that we're doing that. Want to know if you want to be involved in the response to this company that's asking.
I only found out about this just shortly before the meeting, so I haven't been able to research it. I guess one of my first thoughts was maybe see what I could learn from Chris Nelson, because I know he's quite a telecommunications expert. Initially, I mean, I think I'm fine with staff making a determination and sending it in, but in these, and we need to act this month yet, correct?
This company would like us to let them know by the end of the month.
I certainly reserve the right in these coming days, if I learn something different, to want to work on scheduling something and discussing it further if I hear that there's more to this than I'm imagining now or what than I'm understanding now.
The FCC now permits VPCs to obtain PANI?
Pseudo ANIs is what it stands for.
Codes directly from the RNA for the person providing E911 services. If it's determined that the Proper 30 does not require VPC providers to apply for CLEC status, the new process requires only that the applicant for PANI provide a statement from the relevant state commissioners, general counsel of the commission does not certify VPC providers.
I like that.
We do not certify VPC providers. Do we?
I don't believe we would. And so, I mean, I'm just having legal double check, make sure.
You know, there's a lot of cases around the country, not a lot, several of them that are fighting what exactly some of these things mean. And you guys go, I like Randy's idea, the staff come through it, but I think my bias and what I've already picked up around the country and talking to our people is that we stay out of this.
Is this a backdoor way for them to get something else, though? They get this 911 service and then they have a higher status for other things?
I don't know that. I just know that this is being fought out on both sides, and I just think that this is a better federal level interface because it includes that larger block mm-hmm. of numbers. That it just seems like this is like I talked in my comments earlier today about USF and Connect America. This is where I think it's going, and we shouldn't be into this.
You mean to not even respond to it?
No, I think responding, but I think the response is that let them work with the holistic agencies and keep us out of this, unless there's some glaring error to that.
So is the alternative to require these people to apply for a CLEC status?
If the commission, our jurisdiction on telecom carriers is provided by the legislature. If they are the type of company that must register with us, they would use our online registration as a CLEC or a telecom provider.
What defines that, which you just described? If they are the company type of company that has
the statute.
And what does the statute say?
Well, it says that. Well, let's see. I'd have to think about the definite. That's what we're researching. There's a new law regarding VOIP providers that says we have no jurisdiction over
right.
the entry or rates
future
or any of that
technologies.
Stuff. But there's also we also have some rules regarding resale of telecommunication service, which I don't believe this is either. But we're just checking through all of that laws and rules just to make sure that we truly do not have any jurisdiction.
So if we went in knowing that they just passed this law saying we have nothing to do with VoIP, and we went and said, oh, but you need to apply for CLEC status to get when you're a VoIP provider and you want 911 service capabilities, wouldn't the legislature say, we told you not to get involved in this?
I don't think this type of company is actually a VoIP provider.
Oh.
They're just working within the VoIP network. So, I mean, there are the things that we don't quite understand about this service, and we're working.
You guys figured out.
We're working through it to make sure we understand it, and then we'll be able to give you a definitive answer. But we need to do it soon. If you want us to come back to you before we respond to the company, we will.
Well, when you have your response formulated, how about you run it by us and see if anybody wants to have a work session?
Okay.
I mean, I'm leaning towards that last point in this thing, statement from the relevant state commission, that the commission does not certify VPC providers.
So are we.
Okay.
Yeah. Just give a little bit of quick background. I did read through that FCC order, and I know there may be some concern about exhaustion of numbers, but this PNI, ANI codes, they're not dialable numbers, and so really wouldn't take any numbers up from the number pool. And usually what I think the states have been doing, or the concerns from the filings for this FCC order, they all involved whether that state had jurisdiction over quality of service. And for these, I guess, the quality of service over, they have regulatory authority over this quality of service of the 911 service. Well, even if we don't have regulatory service over that, we would still have some sort of regulatory authority possibly over essential services. Isn't that correct, Pat?
Yes,
even
I think
for VoIP.
I think E911 might be considered part of the essential services. I'm not sure, but the requirement for providing E911 is to the carrier,
right.
And we would whatever regulation we have to that over that carrier regarding quality of service is a possible source of jurisdiction there. But this particular provider works for the carrier, and therefore we wouldn't be going to this particular provider. I think we would be going to the actual carrier if the service was a problem.
I think what it is meant to do is give us the opportunity to investigate these companies on the front end and make a determination of whether this would be a good company to provide the service to that whatever telecommunication company that maybe we would possibly regulate. But
if we had that
jurisdiction.
Yep.
And if we had the staff expertise and time to do those kinds of investigations.
See, that's back to the pragmatic point.
They have the expertise, so they just might not have the time.
Right. Well, yeah. When we don't work with this stuff that much, it's hard to be up to speed enough to evaluate the cutting edge, you know, the latest and greatest technology available.
And this is, I mean, this is the latest.
Yeah.
I mean, this just is occurring recently.
You're not an expert on this, Pat?
No. Working on it.
But you will be soon.
But what I recommend, it actually puts more pressure on you in a time-wise, because if you're going to run it by us to see if anybody wants a work session, once you've made a recommendation, then it has to be a few days before the end of the month to give us time to do that, just in case.
You should.
Yes.
Maybe another possibility would be you check with Chris Nelson and see, he might say this is a slam dunk one way or another, and then I have a lot of trust in Chris being from South Dakota, and they have a very similar situation than we do.
Well, I'm not sure what their laws are. You know, this has to do with what the state laws say, so that what might be the case down there might
he'll
be
know,
different
though.
Than here.
He'll know what the big...
I think
issues
he'll
are.
At least be able to tell us if there's some big issues we're completely missing here.
Yeah, that, and then combined with these guys, their research. I'm comfortable with you deciding, and Randy checking with Chris if Chris has any big issues that he thinks we need to be thinking about. Brian?
I go back to where I started. If I don't want to mess this at all. So I think that if you find it that we should be messing with it, you're going to have to tell me why.
Okay. All right. That's that. Is that it? Do you have enough?
Yes, that's
that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Chair, can I add one item?
You can?
Just a quick, I threw it out in my opening comments, but that MISO meeting I just came back from is very interesting, in the switch in MISO's discussion. And when I pushed him, I said, listen, so now you're finally admitting you're short on power. So what are you going to do about it? He said, hey, it's not us. It's the states. So they put it right back in our lap, just like we predicted.
Who said that?
The head guy at MISO, Bear.
Oh.
And also some
John.
Of John. Yeah. And so the long and short of it was is that I'm going to explore with Sally and some others some things that they put in there about what the GNTs have to tell the commission, and to the point of they have 10-year plans. I don't want to get too carried away here, but just at least explore it a little bit.
And when they're talking about this, are they talking about peaking power, baseload power, all types of power, or is there something specific where we're the most short?
I cannot answer that question for sure. But basically, when they put together their numbers, they consider everything, whatever that means, based on a snapshot in time. So for 2017 projections, they project our region, we're still long about 1.5% of the whole system, which is about 1 gigawatt. And then Illinois, Missouri, and Michigan are the ones that are short. So it's really hard to decipher exactly where the shortage is. But for North Dakota, we're okay. But we can get them in one of these MISO meetings to walk through those. But I think that for me it was, you know, they evaluate, can the transmission move this stuff? And is there enough? But as soon as there's not enough, they throw it right back in the state's lab. So I'll keep rolling on that and see what comes out of it, if that's okay.
All right. I wanted to make one other note. Josh sent around the a draft of submission to Legislative Council regarding budget reductions and providing some additional description. Did you, either of you, have any input on that that you want to have, or should I work with Josh on wrapping that up?
Go ahead and work with him on wrapping it up.
Yeah, okay. I looked through it and I had
to do October 1st, so we have a few days yet.
I didn't spend as much time on it as I hoped to, but an initial perusal, I thought it looked fine.
Okay.
Maybe, Madam Chair, if I could add to that we had a scheduling matter that I asked Josh to just throw it out there to the two of you, but I know that typically for OMB, it's at number 6, it's kind of a discussion point. I'm okay with the chair having that discussion, but I think someone has to have that discussion.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was planning on that and would assume that I'd do that. If you guys want to be part of that? I think you did it alone last time.
It usually works easier if the chair goes in and does it.
Yeah.
Because we've already hashed through all the budget stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't see a need to schedule that unless you couldn't make it or something, because they have the dates.
I think that would work.
I'm fine with that then.
Okay. All righty, so Josh and I'll just finalize that as well, so we can take off scheduling matters, number 5. All right, North Dakota Grain. So we're done with discussion. North Dakota Grain Dealers Association meeting.
This is part of their request or suggestion from quite a long time ago, and we talked about it last spring. I don't remember exactly when that was. Do you remember what month? March?
In March.
They wanted to do it a couple times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I kind of forgot about it until Sue just brought it up here. So in looking ahead, geez, the schedule gets so hectic so far out, but just a couple of days that I would throw out because they work particularly well for me.
Okay. When you're scheduling, you get to do that.
maybe the afternoon of November 9th or the morning of November 10th?
I'm out those 2 days.
You're out those 2 days?
But that doesn't mean you can't do it, because that's tough to schedule stuff.
I'm here. I'm also here the 7th and the 8th.
I'm fine with you guys doing it that, and I can call in.
Would the 7th or the 8th work better for you?
Nope, that's that whole week I'm gone. And I don't think
you're gone that week and the next.
I'm not going to make Nehru because I need to be at some events the 7th through the 10th.
Was Nehru something we still need to be holding open, or are you going?
I'm
going to
go.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't know if we'd want to go later than that and get into like the 18th or that Thanksgiving week. The 22nd would be out if we're going to schedule that hearing. But
the 17th.
What about the informal on the 2nd of November? That afternoon.
It's fine by me.
That work for you, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
All right. All righty. Great.
Are you going to notify them of that, Sue?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And by the way, does that work for you?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Sue. The 2017 quarterly meetings with Lignite Energy Council.
Yes, Lignite Energy Council threw out some dates for next year, the first one being March 6th. These are all Mondays, sticking with the day of the week that we've used here for the past year.
Would that just be then the first Monday of every month?
It's the first Monday of March, June, and December. Then in September, they're looking at September 11th, since that first Monday would be Labor Day.
Okay.
It's funny, I already have a conflict March 6th. But once again,
you're in demand.
No, I don't know about that.
So June 5th.
June 5th.
September 11th.
And December 4th.
Okay, back to that again. June 5th is on the calendar.
September 11th. September 12th. Right? Or not?
September 11th is what she has, which I think is...
Oh, September 11th. I'm sorry. Yeah, the first Monday would have been Labor Day. I see. Okay.
Well, but those are on the calendar.
Those work
already
for me.
How come they're already
at
on
this
our
point
calendar?
I don't know.
No, I don't have them on mine.
Are you looking in this year?
Huh?
Are you looking on this year?
Yeah.
Well, you got to look ahead.
That's
why they're already in the calendar.
Okay. I was like, wait a minute here. Well, so September 12th falls the same date both
dates
years?
No, September 11th.
March 6th.
September 11th.
June 5th.
27th.
September
11th. And December 4th.
Sure, I'm okay with all those.
Good answer.
What time?
At noon. Then, like, they're all at the LEC office like they've had the last couple of years. So.
Just put them in. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Thank you, Jim.
Yep.
Appreciate that.
So you're thinking about sticking around for those meetings, Jim?
I thought we would
pop in.
Sure, I'm pretty certain of that.
Oh, okay.
Jim, on your retirement party, do you have a date that works best for your family that you should
have? Not a bad idea, actually, retirement.
We should schedule it while we're on scheduling, because we're going to have one whether you come or not. So I'd...
Well, why don't you go ahead and...
Talk to your family.
Talk to your family and maybe work with Esther on some possible dates. Unless you want to do it now.
No. I
got to
check with boss.
Yeah. It's a good... Got to get used to that, Jim.
Plan, Jeff.
I checked with facility management, and they turned all the rooms over to Legislative Council starting the 28th of November.
Okay.
And they will not schedule anything except a week before.
If we do it after the 28th, but if we do it before then.
Do it the 28th or after, they will not schedule anything.
So we have to do it before the 28th of November. To get the most flexibility with the rooms.
Right.
Is that the upstairs too?
I didn't check with 18th floor. Yeah, I checked with the Pioneer room, because that's more spread out. Upstairs is just one more.
It is a little goofy, you're right. It's a little bit, it's not as good for mingling.
Is better.
Having it more like a room where you can, Pioneer room.
We could start.
Is that the one
the
over there?
Room.
Is Pioneer over in?
Pioneer is by the Highway Patrol.
Yeah, over in Human Services. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a nice room.
Start here, room. And then maybe the week before, if they allow us to use it, we could send out a notice that it's been changed to the Pioneer room.
Oh, do it up here?
Yeah, start out with it here, just to let the people know the date.
No, there's an idea, because if you don't choose that week of the pre-session, the rest of December, the odds that they're going to be being used is pretty slim.
Pretty slim.
Well, let's go back to
kind of depends on what you want.
Checking with his family and seeing if you want to do it before, like in November sometime, or after the fact in December.
I think
Yeah, I'll have to see because I know I'm pretty sure Dean will be out the 29th and 30th because that's when the OSM Western States meeting is, that annual gathering is those 2 days. So probably either earlier or after December 1st, which should be fine for me.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well, maybe you two can kind of come up with some ideas and then we can go from there.
Jim Deutsch right. Day in North Dakota. Get a governor right. proclamation. Julie, what do you think?
Number three, informal hearing, Otter Tail Power Company transmission cost rider. Thanks, Jim.
This, I would like to just use the informal hearing date that's already on the calendar, but I wanted to make sure that we can reserve that date. So Otter Tail and I have discussed the 30th of November, which is already a commission meeting day, and there is an informal time slot there that hasn't been taken by anyone else, as far as I know.
That's fine by me. What's the date on the someone requests a formal hearing by? They have until November 7th, so that would be plenty. Unless we could do it earlier, so we could. Someone has until November 7th to request a formal hearing.
Right.
So we could do one. I guess I'm just thinking if we can do it earlier than that is better, because this is something that they want to go in effect January 1st, right?
Yes.
So give ourselves some time here.
They liked the date of the 30th.
Okay.
Because they have some people that they would like to make sure are available, and that was a good date for them.
Works for me.
Okay. If that's what they want, it's fine by me.
Okay. Works for you, Randy?
Yep.
So, and then rescheduling the petroleum, the meeting with Petroleum Council, October 24th. Is where it is, and you want to move it to the 26th, Daryl?
Yeah, well, the Ron Ness wasn't going to be available on the 24th. Now something came up, so he was asking if we could reschedule for the either 26th, 27th, or 31st.
Say that again.
26th, 27th, or 31st.
Any of them work for me?
I would do any of them, but the 31st.
The 26th is the best one, the only one.
26?
That works for me.
Okay. What time do those go at? Usually lunchtime, right?
11:30, I think, is what they are. And then, yeah.
Maybe the 31st. Is that okay?
It's Halloween.
No? All right, let's stick with the 26th. I'll just leave early. As long as you let me talk first, Madam
Chair. We can start earlier.
That would be helpful.
Why don't we start earlier?
You can do that.
Could, like 11? 11 or?
Yeah. I could be on the road by 12:30. That'd be perfect. Start at 11. That'd be plenty of time.
Yeah.
I'll check, or I'll work with Kay, and we'll look at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, because okay. We could do the meeting
sure.
First and then have lunch.
You bet.
Because we usually have some time for lunch.
Right. So, I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah. Or, you know, if we don't have lunch, too, that would be an option as well. We could just have it from 10:30 to noon or something. Okay. Thank you. Anything else?
I had one more thing that I neglected to get on here. We need a work session on weights and measures quality assurance program. And Josh and I had talked about it a while back, and I kind of forgot exactly what it was. What the decision to be made is, and so maybe Josh, if you want to just elaborate a little bit, but I do remember visiting with them, and it's a decision bigger than I feel like I should make as the portfolio holder.
Okay.
Quality assurance
stickers. Oh yeah, now I recall. Currently, like Wayne will go out and check a scale in a quality assurance program, put on a sticker, and it gives them a bunch of time that they don't need to be tested again. Certainly Josh makes a good point that really that he's not out there inspecting them and getting them more time. He's just doing the quality assurance, and so it ought not factor in. He should just
be having like an approved sticker or whatever that sticker was going to say. However, and here's why I don't feel comfortable without discussing it more, and maybe we're getting too far into it already here at this point, but you know, there's going to be pushback from people that say, yeah, you know, we're having a busy day, you shut down our customers all this time, you tested it, now it expires in 3 weeks, why do I need to pay somebody to come in here and test it again? You just tested it and said it was good. Mm. So there could be negative feedback, and so I think it merits a work session if we can get one scheduled in here sometime.
Sure.
And I don't think there's real great urgency.
Are there other things to talk about? That might need a work session too?
We can think about whether there's anything else, but I think that's the main thing.
Transition plan.
Yeah.
On a side note, can you have the? I was gassing up a state vehicle the other day for a spouse of mine, and there's no stickers on their state pumps. Just like when I was down one day having chow, there was no stickers on our weights in the cafeteria. So I sent our guys down there, but there's no stickers in these pumps.
Were they accurate?
I don't know because there was no sticker.
I spend a lot of money on salad.
Oh. Yeah, they're accurate.
And it does seem expensive.
That's why I talked to Loretta. Serious, there's no stickers on those pumps that I could see.
We'll check. I'll have Brent go over. Yeah. I don't know if that's a commercial device, though. That's a private device.
Right, so.
I'm just saying.
No one's paying for the gas.
The taxpayers are paying for the gas.
Well,
but they're making the money then, too.
They're paying for all the gas that goes down into that tank, but not by the gallon.
I'm just thought of it because agencies pay for what they use. So
true.
So I don't know. I just thought it was an oddity.
Downstairs, that scale is accurate. We got to watch Loretta with her thumb.
It's awesome. Okay, so wait a minute. Do we want to schedule that right now, a work session?
Yep.
Do you want to do it soon?
I don't think there's a lot of urgency, but...
We've got the Glacier Ridge next week. I'm around on the 28th. The 29th, I'll be in Fargo.
The 28th doesn't really work for me.
I am here on the 20. On the.
What about after our personnel meeting on the 4th?
The 4th? I don't have.
No, we don't have a personnel meeting then. I was on the wrong. What about after the PHMSA annual meeting?
That the afternoon?
On the 4th, yeah.
Sure. I'm available.
It's fine by me. Just so you guys know, too, I've been slated for jury duty on the 4th and the 5th of October, but that happens a lot, and then a lot of times it doesn't materialize. So if it does materialize, I just won't make that stuff. If it does, then...
God bless anybody who's being tried on you're on the jury.
Yeah, you got to give me. I make it the first round, and I'm gone.
Oh, so let's say 1:30 on the...
4th?
4th. Of October for Weights and Measures work session.
Okay.
If you want a speedy conviction, put me on your jury.
Yeah.
You said 1:30, right?
1:30.
Yep.
All right. Jim's going to get back to us on retirement party stuff. And all righty. Randy, did we leave you enough time to go make your burgers?
Yep, I believe so.
All righty. We're adjourned. Josh, you want to